come with us now, if you dare, down a rickety staircase into a dank, dark basement. What awaits? The Saturday Night Freak Show.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Saturday Night Freak Show podcast. Every Saturday night, a group of internet radio superstars sits in a basement, watches a movie, and then sits around a bar and talks about it for your listening pleasure.
And then we do it too.
These are the internet radio superstars.
Sean.
Michaela.
Holly.
And I'm Colin. And tonight we're doing, this is the final pick, I believe, of our Listener's Choice Month.
The last one.
What we did was we asked you what movies you wanted us to watch. You made a whole bunch of suggestions. We sat around. There was debates. There was
infighting, yelling, agreements,
backdoor dealings, and all this.
Yeah, there was money changed hands.
And we ended up with the movies that you've been listening to for the past month. This is the last one. And
Colin, what did we watch this week?
We watched a movie that was suggested by a user known only to us as 365 Feature on Twitter.
Oh.
And it was called Rock and Roll Nightmare. Or?
The Edge of, I don't remember what the alternate title was.
The Edge of Hell.
The Edge of Hell. Edge I always want to call it The Edge of Evil.
That's right.
Yeah. Neither are accurate.
No.
No.
No. No. No. Neither.
That's very true.
Nightmare is the only accurate part of this movie.
Dang. Tipping your hand.
Oh.
What did you really think of the movie? So, this is from the year 1987. It was directed by a fellow named John Fasano, who I'm sure never worked again, we hope. But it stars the man, the myth, the legend, John Michael Thor.
Yeah, Thor.
And everybody's going, who the fuck is John Michael Thor?
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well,
the greatest rock musician of his time. Do you know who that is, Colin?
Yeah, I fell on
you
the
should.
Sword. Okay, so
educate us.
There's a documentary out about this guy because he was in a band. The documentary is called I Am Thor, currently streaming on Netflix as of this recording.
My God.
He was in a band called Thor.
Okay. I'm just guessing on that one.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently he was, I guess like he started out as a bodybuilder who then became a naked waiter in some kind of New York underground, you know, restaurant scene. And then he could also sing. And so he got picked up and became in this band called Thor. This was
guy had a life.
While he was naked waiting
here.
Yeah.
Was he singing while he was naked waiting?
Maybe on the side or something. Our talent scout found him or something like this. I don't know. It's in the documentary.
Talent scout found him.
In the naked restaurant.
And he started a brand of rock music called muscle rock.
Makes sense.
Oh. Muscle rock. Okay, so I mean, like I was, I picked this movie based on 365.
Based on your love of muscle rock?
Suggestion. Based on my love of 80s hair metal.
Muscle rock.
All right.
Okay.
This is the music of my childhood. No. That was
naked waiting. You love naked
hair,
waiting.
Okay. Metal. Before that, it was the muscle rock, which I had never heard of. This is what I'm saying.
I've never heard of it either.
I'm into this music and never heard of Thor. I've never heard of
that surprises
muscle rock,
me.
Right? So I'm like, how big was this band? But apparently they had a following. Like at the time, there's all these photos of him hanging out with Ozzy Osbourne and, you know, all these guys from Kiss and all that. So he was a contemporary of them, I guess, back in the day. But his stage show consisted of him blowing up hot water balloons until they popped because he's, you know, a Superman, a He-Man of rock. And then he would also take a metal bar and bend it in his mouth.
So he's a prop comedian is what you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah. I think his big break came from the Merv Griffin show where he was on. And that was the thing that launched his music career.
Has he written a book?
There's a
I might watch this documentary.
I Am Thor.
Does it cover all this in the documentary?
This is the beginning of the documentary.
Oh my God,
and then
I
the
might
rest
watch
of
this.
The documentary is him in 2006 going on tour again.
Uh-oh.
And sounds really how sad. Long.
Yeah, it's very sad.
Probably.
It's one of those, like, I mean, you were talking about the
Anvil, the story of Anvil.
Yeah. Yeah. Does that get kind of sad?
I mean, where you're like, because it has a very uplifting part at the end when they go to, I think, Japan. Where there's actually a huge crowd, spoiler, where there's actually a huge crowd who are big fans of them waiting for them. But leading up to that point, it's a lot of disappointment, a lot of, hey, you got booked in a tiny club and there's five people there. Their manager doesn't know what they're doing. So, it is a little sad, them trying to revive their careers and go on tour. But this ends on a lighter note.
Because this is basically the same thing that happens.
But isn't that what happens? Like, they never stop rocking. Like, I know it's a thing, but they never stop.
Now they're in their 60s or whatever the hell, and they're still rocking it out.
Is that one of their hits, Never Stop Rocking?
No, it's somebody's. But that's the way you live. You never stop rocking.
You never stop. It's true. It's a lifestyle.
It's a lifestyle.
But it's sad now when you look at these guys. Like, they're clearly over the hill, schlepping all their gear from, country to country, going on these tours where they end up and there's 12 people there or whatever the hell.
Yeah. But they're big
fans.
And then
they end up at, some place in Finland where there's a whole bunch of people and, they're
it's always
this is
Finland.
The best show that I've ever seen in my life. That's my bad Finnish accent. But there's a great scene in the documentary where Thor is up there bending the iron bar. He gets the girls in the front row to check and make sure that it's actually
real.
A real thing. And then he's doing it. And then he stops and spits three teeth out and asks if there's a dentist in the crowd.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Like something went wrong? Or?
Oh, yeah. Like he busted his teeth out trying to do this act.
Oh, no. I have to watch this
now. It's so sad.
Oh, no. Yeah.
And he goes through the, I don't know why I'm doing this. This is, not, look at how old I am. And he's his own manager. And he's always carrying around big battle axes. And he's got the Thor persona.
A lot of airport scenes. Where
Yeah. It's amusing, but not necessarily you have to watch it. Unless
it sounds really depressing. Yeah, it sounds really depressing.
How long
really
is
depressing.
It?
Yeah.
Like an hour and a half.
Okay. Because if it's 2 hours long, no way.
Yeah,
but I'll watch.
If you would allow me to indulge in a Kevin Smith spinoff story, I lived in Nashville for a year, and one of my regular, I worked in an ice cream shop. I was a manager of an ice cream shop that was very similar to Old Stones type franchise. And one of my regular customers was Mark Slaughter from Slaughter. He would come in every Sunday with his daughter, and he was crazy nice, and he tipped very well, and he was very polite. But I remember thinking, this is really sad that this is what he does every week, is he comes into this ice cream shop with his daughter. Not as sad as this movie in the way that this guy's life went. So Mark Slaughter at least is doing okay.
That doesn't seem sad.
There you go. So now I'm just Mark Slaughter's doing all right.
He's a good dad. Yeah.
How'd you know it was
Father
Mark Slaughter?
Because his name on his card is last name is Slaughter on his credit card. Because I ran it through the credit card machine and I have to give him the receipt for him to sign it. And I was like, Slaughter. Isn't Slaughter the band Slaughter? And I Googled it real quick while I was helping him. I was like, oh my God, it is him.
Wow.
And he would come in every Sunday night. He was great. He tipped very well. He was a great customer.
See, he's doing all right.
He's aging very well. He looks great. But I remember at the time being like, is this the highlight of his week? God, I hope not.
It's the highlight of his daughter's
week. What year was this?
This was 2008, 2009.
Okay.
So
but there's a weird disconnect between the fantasy persona that rocked me, especially this era of stadium rock or hair metal rock or whatever projected, that everybody was going out and it's cocaine, sex, drugs, booze and party all the time, probably in some hot or tropical climate, always Los Angeles.
Trash and hotels.
And making strange demands on the staff. And then the disconnect is in reality, at some point the party ended and they all kind of went off to do these menial jobs working in Home Depot or whatever the hell, or it's like The Wrestler, that movie.
Yeah.
Counter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Wrestler was just kind of wrestling stood in for an aging rock star at that point.
Yeah.
All the same stuff. But
Yeah. There's a lot of, what was it? Best Worst Movie, that documentary about
Troll 2.
The Troll 2. Mm-hmm. Okay. There's a lot of that in the same kind of vibe off of the I Am Thor documentary, probably the Anvil one as well, I assume.
Yeah.
It's because you were something at one point in time, and it's these people are in this arrested adolescence, where the glory days were when they were in their 20s. Now that you're closing in on 70, it's
Does it end on a happy note?
At the end of it, he's I'm never doing it again. This is it. This is the final tour. And then he goes on, up on stage and the people respond and he gets in the car at the end. And they're like, we didn't hear you say this was your final show. He's like, well, you'd never.
Of course. So once you get on stage and feel it, that's it. Just keep chasing that.
Right. Yeah. Because it's the adaptation of the crowds. Right. You got to keep on following that around.
Yeah.
But at some point in John Michael Thor's career, this is in the mid-80s, the band Thor disbanded, broke up, or whatever, and he tried his hand at acting.
Now, you said this movie came near the end of his career?
Yeah, I think this, well, technically, I think Thor, the band, was done like in 85, 86. Mm-hmm. So this came out in 87.
Okay.
And this was on the tail end of, or in the middle of, like, another subgenre of films that I like to indulge myself in, the rock and roll horror movie. Longtime listeners might know my affinity for a little movie called Trick or Treat, which I'm still saying is the best of the rock and roll horror movies based on this evidence. Right.
Well, I mean, we have.
Right, I mean, this furthers now, that, I guess.
Have,
yeah.
We have Trick or Treat, and we have this movie. So that's basically
that's your spectrum. Yeah.
That's what we got here.
We haven't seen Black Roses, but you know, don't tempt me.
Okay.
Okay.
Black Roses could show up, and what was the other one? Slaughterhouse. No, it was Rocktober Blood. Oh yeah, this is like a this is a thing. Oh, rock and roll horror films. Most recently, they brought it back briefly in one movie from the Australians called
Deathgasm.
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 Which was censored by Walmart and renamed something else for the resale in Walmart. They didn't want to call it Deathgasm. They called it something else and had like a slipcase for it.
Yeah.
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 Have you seen this?
Yeah. Fuck you, Walmart.
No, it was something like that. But that's an actual, like, a decent budget, modern day variation on the.
You must have had been so excited when you saw that. You were like, ah!
Oh, yeah, when I heard they were making that movie and you hear the, like, what? You know, the horror comedy, you know? Because you have to do, and this is the thing with this type of movie, you can't go all horror, I think, with the rock and roll horror movie.
Never go
horror. You have to go, like, rock and roll fantasy horror. There's a difference, which means that you're going to have little demon imps. And,
right. Well, fantasy's always been a part of, like, that era of rock and roll, hasn't it? Like,
that's,
you ever if you've ever watched any music video from that era, there's always something going on. Again, these were the guys who played Dungeons and Dragons and just that whole fantasy realm.
Yeah.
Always made its way into
the videos and lights from and some kind of supernatural thing. Ozzy Osbourne turns into a werewolf.
There's a dragon somewhere.
Yeah.
Right. Every Dio cover, you know.
Demons. Kind of, every Dio.
Yeah, they all had Frank Frazetta do all their art, too.
Yeah.
Or some kind of chrome, you know, like modern day chrome, like chrome bicycles and, you know, big bats.
Or there's a castle and bats, always bats.
Oh, yeah.
Gargoyles and whatnot.
Yeah, so it seems like it's two flavors that go great together, rock and roll or heavy metal and horror, right?
Mm-hmm.
So out of that explosive combination, you get a movie called Rock and Roll Nightmare. Okay, so it wasn't originally called Rock and Roll Nightmare, as we established. It was originally titled
The
Edge of Hell.
I keep wanting to say Edge of Evil. God damn it. I'm gonna get it up.
And there is a theme song at the end.
Thank God.
But they retitled it Rock and Roll Nightmare, I think, to, you know, because obviously it had John Michael Thor in it, and I figure we can capitalize on his
rock and roll base. Yes.
So this movie.
Oh, this movie.
We're going to try and describe this to you, listener, but it's going to maybe take a couple of tries or something because we're not entirely sure what we've seen.
I saw a lot of house.
A lot of van.
A lot of van shots. Some nice van glamour
shots. The intro to this movie is I wonder how long this movie would have been if, like, an actual editor had gotten a hold of it and just edited it down to the needed parts of this.
I'm going with you get 30 minutes.
Right.
Something. You need a little van at the beginning, a little road trip leading up to where they're going. Maybe show somebody else in the van, because all they do in the lead up to this is show John Michael Thor driving.
And maybe just kind of
fist pumping at some point. Rock and roll's the best. You got to do this as a band.
Yeah.
And they just show him. And so we're just kind of, I'm just thinking, like, he's just driving somewhere.
Yeah.
Right. So here's the thing. Like, the trademark of a bad movie, like, the first sign you're in for trouble is it's under 90 minutes, right? It's the first sign that, oh, shit, this is probably not going to be great.
And
this comes in at 83. You take out the credits and the van shots. It's probably down to, what, 75?
Yeah.
So it's a little bit longer than an episode of Game of Thrones at this point?
Yep.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
Yeah. And then you take out the house facade picture.
Yeah.
Every establishing shot. Just take out.
Yeah.
And clouds. So what are we left with?
So many clouds.
Trees. Yeah. There's lots of trees.
All right.
Some puppet shots.
But, okay, so going for that, there is a prologue to this movie, I believe, before the title, which sets up with absolute clarity.
More interesting than the rest of the movie.
It was. Yeah, it might have been.
I totally forgot that was in this movie, actually.
I did, too.
We were on board with this part, I think.
There are great parts, but legitimately the best part of the movie was this beginning, this cold open.
Which takes place in this farmhouse at an undisclosed period in time. We don't know. We assume, based on later in the movie.
10 years prior.
Okay, so it's 10 years ago where a farmer is
shaving.
He's shaving. His wife is making dinner and the kid
breakfast.
And the kid, what's the kid doing? He's just playing around up in the.
I think so.
Wasting time.
Did we see the kid much until he was at the stairs?
He was looking through the bars of the railing. Of the upstairs, I think, was he?
Yeah, because he was just like messing around in his bed, and she's like, breakfast. He's like, don't scramble the eggs without me. And just,
Yeah.
That's what we saw at the kid.
And then mom suddenly hears a noise, and she goes to investigate.
She opens the fridge.
She just opens the fridge.
She's not investigating.
Oh, that's right, because there's just a light opens in the fridge. That's how you know the supernatural is happening.
There's always a light in the fridge.
Yeah.
And then when dad comes down to find her. Carol, where are you? Maybe she's in the oven. It's a pretty astute.
Oh, my God, Carol. Yeah.
He looks around for a second and then looks at the oven.
The oven is shaking. Yeah, just a little shaky.
Clearly, Carol's in the oven. Clearly. The oven is shaking.
Yeah.
Opens it up, and there's a demon inside.
Yeah.
Was that his wife? Was that
no, Carol? Because it had fangs. It had, like, vampire fangs, so I can't assume that's his wife. I assume it's a demon.
Yeah. It's like a kind of a meatloaf demon. I mean, it kind of looks like...
Like meatloaf, like Bat Out of Hell meatloaf, or like Call the Theme, or like
baked meatloaf. Okay. Yeah.
That one, I agree with that.
And it's about as articulated as a meatloaf. Just kind of slide it out.
Yeah. So it's got the one good claw that it can use.
Yeah. This, to an astute moviegoer, is the moment that you realize that you are in for a very long 84 minutes.
Yeah.
Based on the, okay. So cut to 10 years later.
And then we cut to the first shot of the van. And then we cut to 10 more years later until they get to the house.
Yeah.
Like we said, a lot of van shots, a lot of road shots.
Well, I thought at the beginning, because, you know, obviously, you know, you have a rock star in your movie, so you get some of his music, and it's like, okay, we're going to stick on this, van footage so we can play an entire track of his. This happens a couple of other times in the movie where we're just going to hang on these scenes so we can play a music track.
This is about the music. This is not about a movie.
But he turns his own music off and turns it over to like the score that goes.
Did he turn it over to the?
I think so. Or it was some kind of whatever.
The public domain version of the Mormon Tabernacle Choir doing? Yeah. Public domain version, obviously, because they would never pay for this.
But. I'm just going to do that randomly throughout the podcast. You're not going to know what's coming.
I mean, that would be on par with the score for the movie.
Yeah. Basically,
it doesn't sync up with anything.
No,
ever.
It comes in randomly. Like, they're having nice music, quote unquote. And then it'll just be
interrupted. You're talking about The Rock.
Yeah.
Rock. Yeah. Well, there was also like this weird, the whole way through the movie, they do this really bad mixing where they'll have your source music, right? Mm. The rock songs playing.
Yeah.
And then they bring the score in at about the same level and you can't tell which one you're supposed to be listening to.
Mm-hmm. Right. But they do that with the dialogue as well, because they amp up the music where it's like same as the dialogue. And you're just like, what am I supposed to be listening to?
Is this important dialogue? Or all I hear is bass.
I'll never know.
Yeah. It could be a bad
bad
version of the soundtrack. Who knows?
Maybe.
Synapse Films put this out on DVD in 2006.
Did they do anything special good, or they just acquired it and got rid of it? They
cleaned up the picture.
Did they?
Yeah.
They could have cleaned up the audio, although that's probably harder.
But we watched it on Amazon, so who knows? Maybe
true
compression or something fucked it up.
I'm going to blame the filmmakers and not.
Yeah.
Someone just went in and removed the cigarette burns and called it cleaned up.
Yeah, that's good. It.
Yeah,
restored.
Yeah, pretty much.
Of Rock and Roll Nightmare.
It was a special edition of Rock and Roll
Edge of Evil.
Why don't I own
no
this
one's
going to
fucking watch this anyway.
No. But, that was like, we'll throw it in free. You can.
Well, except for Riff Tracks, I guess, got a hold of it.
Did
and
they?
It was like a rifter. Oh, yeah, because Rock and Roll Nightmare as like a bad movie.
God damn it, have they not done something?
Oh, they have. Yeah, you can download the soundtrack to play along with it, I think. Is that how Riff Tracks works now? It's like they used
I've
to
never Riff
Tracked.
Do they just download it and listen to it?
I think so.
I have no idea.
Sync it up and play it along with the... Yeah, I think this goes along with, like, The Room or Plan 9 or Troll 2. It's kind of, you know, one of those so bad it's hilarious movies. We also forgot, like, during the opening credits.
This is what I was going to mention.
Showing the ineptitude of that the
you mentioned Tommy Wiseau. You mentioned The Room.
Yeah. It's very Wiseauian.
It very is. We even adopted our own accents for this man, for John Michael Thor, even though he's American, apparently. But we all slipped into our Tommy Wiseau impressions because he's the writer of this movie and a producer.
Yeah.
And I'm surprised he didn't direct it.
Well, we don't know for sure. I haven't fact checked it, but it's credited to somebody else. Well, no.
John, well, but his wife's in it. Yeah. Okay. John Fasano or something like that.
Yeah. I had a very similar reaction to the opening credits of this movie as I do to, many M. Night Shyamalan movies, where there's a joke I love from one of my other favorite podcasts, How Did This Get Made, about how M. Night Shyamalan should just change his name to Boo Fuck You, because when you first see his name as director, M. Night Shyamalan, you're like, boo, but then when you see writer written and produced by, you're like, fuck you. That was the same reaction to this movie, written, produced, you're like, boo, like, fuck you, get the fuck out of here,
I think we were all very happy. There was an audible reaction to the written by John Michael Thor of this movie. Oh my God.
And the fact that the opening credits are set while over footage of the point of view
drive.
Of some little cross demon country monster
trip.
Like running around in the house.
Oh, the cat!
About this too. The cat,
the quote unquote cat, whatever the hell it is.
The proto GoPro footage.
Yeah.
But it really was. Wait, what happened? All right, there's the demon in the oven, and then it goes to just low camera angle of something running around this house for 5 minutes while they do the opening credits.
Like a primitive GoPro was put on a cat.
Mm-hmm. Just running around. I mean, they do jump through some hoops almost literally in these opening shots, but it's
through some windows too.
There's some windows and everything, but I mean, I get this little things running around. It's something else.
Too bad that's not relevant to anything else in the rest of the movie.
No,
because we're still going. We don't know what's actually happening here,
but we know what we're gonna get because, like I said, we had an audible reaction to the written by John Michael Thor, and when you see something like that, like I think everyone knows what that entails is going to come next at this point. I think we've all seen enough stuff where somebody who's trying to revive their career gets into a passion project and they're involved in every... This had to be a passion project.
Passion projects are... the worst thing you can hear in front of a movie.
This was his, like...
Well, he was in, like, Three Domes about the same
after
time.
After or before?
No, around this time.
Okay.
This may have been the last of the three.
But were they all as centric to him as this movie was? Because this is his thing.
Good
like
question.
This stars him. He wrote it. Like he this felt is, something for this material.
This is material. His nightmare.
Yeah. This is what he wanted to get across to people. A, rock and roll. B, Jesus of some sort, it feels like, or at least Satan.
Yeah.
That you will fight the evils with
rock and
roll.
I was wondering what your B was going to be because I didn't have one.
I barely got to that.
Right. Yeah, A and B.
A and B.
Whenever anyone creates film in a vacuum, it's never a good thing. I think Rob Zombie's a great example of that. M. Night Shyamalan's a great example. Just creating in a vacuum without any outside criticism is a terrible situation.
Yeah.
And usually when you're a writer, director, producer, you're not getting much outside criticism.
Right.
So when you see those three things with the same name, that's why everyone's like, boo, fuck you, because this is going to be your pure passion project. Passion project is a dangerous thing to put in front of a movie.
Yes.
It can either be real great. Hudson Hawk, exactly.
Oh, God.
You don't like Kit Kat and Snickers and all the fucking candy bar named people.
There's just nobody there to say no.
Exactly.
No, right. That's the thing. You need someone to say no at some point.
Why are these cat burglars singing while they're breaking into this place?
Yeah, exactly.
Because
you need someone to say why.
But the only people who say why are usually the money people.
Yeah.
Right? It's like somebody's holding the check and say, no, you're going to do this, or why are we doing this, John? We gotta. But the budget for this was apparently $100,000. They shot it like in a week, and it absolutely shows.
You can tell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
surprised took a week.
Well, so this the van finally gets to where it's going. This farmhouse, the scene of the the whatever I was going to say the slaughter of the beginning, but that and this like cadre of band members and assorted hangers-ons or plus ones get out. These are people that you cannot imagine, at least I couldn't, imagine them being in a rock and roll band together, like at any point in human history, except for Thor's got, he looks like a rock star.
Right. Everybody else looks like an actor. He looks like he's in a band.
They definitely brought their own wardrobe, too. There was no wardrobe department.
Oh,
they brought their own clothes to this movie.
And very 1980s. If you're into 1980s fashion when you're doing that movie about the 80s, look at this movie for a hint on how people dressed in 1987. So they're at this place. This is what you do, right? If you're a rock star, you find a secluded barn out in the middle of nowhere that's been converted into a recording studio, to cut your next album.
Obviously.
It's just too bad. That's what everybody does. Some what
Stones do. They all go out and just.
Oh, shit.
It is a thing.
I'm sorry. Did the Stones set something off for you?
No, this whole scenario just reminded me of an Alice Cooper movie. You remember when Alice Cooper was in movies? He was a star in a movie called Monster Dog.
I'm sorry. Hold on. I just have one question.
Okay.
Is it what I think it is?
A bad movie, like Monster Dog, bad movie, or werewolves? What are you thinking?
A monster dog.
It's a monster dog.
Okay. That's all I wanted.
Like a hellhound is what I imagine. Yeah.
I think it's all I want. I think it's a werewolf. But he's like a rock star who goes to an Italian castle. I think his family is there so they can record their new album. Brings the band with him. You get a couple of new albums.
Was it Charles Band's Italian castle? Because we know he has one.
No, this was the actual Italians making it. I got to track that movie down.
Great. I had to watch that soon, guys.
Because I remember that being horrible, too. They had like German shepherds playing the werewolf, you know, and they're wagging their tails.
Yeah. Like Alien 3 when they did the test footage of like the greyhounds wearing the outfits and it didn't work out very well. Because it was too cute. They were just like wiggling around a bunch.
Jump out of my chest.
You just put blood on their fangs.
They'll be fine.
So, I mean, so basically they're, I mean, the plot of this movie, right? I mean, it's a slasher movie.
You figured out?
I didn't figure it out. I mean, there's a series of situations.
Things happen.
Which are basically, they get together. At some point, they sleep. At some point, they eat together, maybe. They have, everybody's hot for each other, so they're all having sex in long, 10-minute long.
In one twin bed.
Sex scenes in twin bed and in the piano bed.
Yeah.
And then they record music. Rinse and repeat. You know, that's their daily routine.
Almost literally when we get to the shower scene.
Yeah.
How many new Thor tracks do we get? Oh, I'm sorry. The band is called Triton. Triton. In the movie. And he's John Triton.
John something. Triton. Yeah, he's John Triton.
Yeah.
How many new live performances were there? Two,
there
three?
Were two live performances and other songs.
We Live to Rock.
And Energy.
Energy.
How can we forget Energy?
Oh, boy. So there's at least two.
There's two of those, and there's other music throughout.
Yeah. What's your thoughts on John Michael Thor as a stage performer?
I mean, I've seen worse. I've seen worse live. Nothing special. Yeah. There's no, you know.
I mean,
not much
but he
of that
carries
performance.
Himself like a rock star. I suppose that's the thing. Yeah. He's got the, you know.
He's got the hair.
Yeah.
The coattails.
Like, what else? You can't really do
He's
much.
Got the hair and the coattails. What else do you want from him?
I feel like you take away those two things, though, and there's not much.
No,
there.
There's nothing.
There's no stage charisma or
None.
Anything.
Zero.
I mean, this. You know.
He's no Sammy Kerr. I mean, like, few people.
Oh, my God.
Okay. So. all right. So, anyway, how the whole supernatural shenanigans get underway
they
is.
Come out of nowhere, don't they?
Yes. Yeah. Straight out of nowhere.
Straight out. Yeah, it really is, because they're doing their first live performance. And
the guy loses his drumstick or something, or breaks or something?
He breaks his drumstick on the last beat of the song, and then
the manager,
Ducky.
Which is not a huge problem, by the way. Not a huge problem.
No. No, right?
No.
It's like, oh, man, did you break another drumstick?
Because at this point, he's sort of Australian, sort of.
At this point,
He's British
Tom's
at this
gonna be
point.
Upset with you. That guy was British.
He's British.
He was supposed to be British?
But he was a really, really
it was
bad.
Really
but
bad
he's not
bad,
British.
Man, yeah.
I thought at some point someone called him an Aussie.
I don't think he's British.
Either way, it was bad.
It's bad. Yeah. Very bad.
One of the worst English accents possibly ever committed to film. Maybe not. Mm-hmm. Bold statement?
Yeah. No,
it's
not
pretty bad. Yeah.
It's very close.
So what happened, though?
The manager
the
goes
stage
off
manager,
to find
he said, yeah, he said he's got a box of drumsticks in the back. So he goes to the back of the barn. And he does not encounter the box of drumsticks, but one of the band members' girlfriends?
Yeah.
Okay, you're forgetting a scene that totally confused the shit out of me.
Oh,
the little rubber monster.
Yeah. I forgot about that.
God. With the one eye.
Now, there's nothing before in this movie to tell us that this is going to happen.
Right.
No.
That we are going to get little one-eyed monsters.
Right.
Who look like, what's the Muppet?
There's a Muppet that looks like this. It's a tiny little one. He's got crazy hair. He's got one eye.
Oh, the shrimp? The shrimp guy?
Yeah.
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 I don't know if that's an accurate representation of what he looks like.
Well, obviously, I guessed it, so that was it.
But yeah, but yeah, whatever that is.
That was great for a podcast. Great representation there. Yeah.
But yeah, that guy, that's what they look like. Later on, they have hair and everything.
That is what they look like, yeah.
So he just kind of meeps into the guy's coffee mug that he's drinking.
Yeah.
A little drop of whatever drool.
He meeps. I like that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, but this is what I don't understand.
But nothing happens to him.
This is like, we're trying to make sense out of something. But the little monster horks into the, the coffee cup.
Yep. Yeah, he does.
Of the, we're assuming this is the recording engineer.
The engineer's coffee mug.
He drinks it. He sniffs it first, then goes like, oh, what the hell? And then chugs the thing.
I've had worse.
Right?
Yeah.
So then he goes down to the basement to find the
drumsticks.
And then encounters the demon-possessed woman
the demon has formed into the woman.
Okay, how not do you possessed. Know that?
Because she ends up running around looking for him later. Like, I don't think she left.
I mean, she wasn't possessed, and the demon left
I
her.
I don't know.
I think I'm guessing. Right, though. I'm just playing devil's advocate.
Right.
I think the little monster turned into the
demon.
At this point, we didn't know, but...
No, because I thought...
So much happens off-screen in this movie that we're supposed to imply. Yeah. It's ridiculous.
So at this point, we are thinking, like, what's she doing on there? And then she comes on to the manager, strips, and they start making out. And then she begins to change into this toothy demon. Yes, the toothy demon.
Yeah.
And takes a big chunk out of his
big
neck.
Big ground round chunk out
no,
of his
yeah, it was straight up like ground beef spam or something. Like, it was.
I love, the utilitarian, do-it-yourself nature of this movie in the credit, like in the opening credits, there's two, I'm going to use air quotes here, companies credited with coming up with the special effects. Mm. In the end, it's like there's a bunch of guys listed for every single, special effects gag in the movie. It's like there's this guy did this one. So these are no Tom Savinis, we're saying. I've seen chunks getting bitten out of people's necks that looked a lot more convincing than this. But, yeah, that was pretty – it was like raw hamburger or something. He was kind of pulled out of there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But a couple scenes later, the same dude is seen wandering around the house.
What?
Which is like the chick is seen with the rest of the group looking for
him. She's part of the search party at that point, looking for him and everything. And we're very confused at this point. What happens next?
I don't know.
I don't know.
At some point, I remember
there's sex that night.
Yeah,
like, that's twin when bed, we go, probably.
Right. I think this is the twin bed sex when that comes in.
Yeah, but I think the first night sex scenes are basically like, hey, we should have sex, and then it cuts, and then you go off to like another person. Hey, we should have sex. Oh, I can't, baby. I got to work on that love song.
Cut. Or then, or another guy is tired/gay.
Right. Yeah, that's right. He can't. I'll listen to you.
But
it was like he contradicted himself and whatever he said. She comes in. She's like, hey, I can't sleep. He's like, oh, yeah. I don't think I'd be very good company. Right. And she's like, oh, okay, I'll leave. And he's no. You don't have to leave, though. Like,
you can talk and I'll listen.
And then he falls asleep on
it.
And it's got the greatest cutback to, like, of this movie. I love it when they cut back to her and she's like, and that's when I realized that my life was going to be music. Like, that's great because it says so much about the conversation that came before it that you realize, you know why he's a, that's a good joke. Despite everything else in this movie, that's a good
joke.
If it was intentional. It feels like it was, but that's a good joke.
That was a solid
joke. I'll give him that.
Well, the only plot advancement that I think happens that first night.
The British guy.
I thought the van disappears.
Oh, right.
Because they're all like, where'd so-and-so go? Where'd Phil
Phil's
go?
Phil's his name, right, yeah.
Like, he took the van. He must have taken it because the van is gone.
Yeah, he must have gone to town to get more drumsticks.
Yeah, so now we're going to have to
wait
until
tomorrow
morning.
Is this before or after the groupies show up?
Before. They show up
this
later.
This is before.
Yeah, because then.
Jesus.
Right. Randomly.
Yep.
This movie felt so long. Holy shit. For like an 84-minute movie, so long.
But it also speaks to like the, like, as the writer, John Michael Thor, right? Like, all he's got to read, like, rock is so awesome that, we got to go and come up with this 10 minutes of music and we're going to record it. And in between, like, the only thing that anybody wants to do in his orbit is have sex, right? So this is the big F shack. Basically, we're going to be here while, we come up with this music. And groupies will show up from the town. You know, these townies show up and be like, oh, the band Triton is here and we got to sneak in there and get with them, I assume. That's what they were after, even though...
Well, they weren't there for autographs. Not at 10 in the morning.
These women, like, show up. There's four girls show up, force their way into the house, or invited, and I think by the now-demon-possessed...
Yeah, Phil
now-demon Phil.
Phil, who then leads them away to the basement.
And that's it.
And that's it. Never hear anything about him again.
Never to be heard from again. We know something bad happened because his hand turned evil. That's all we know. His hand turned evil.
What's an evil hand look like?
Something like the creature from the Black Lagoon, basically. Like
green and bloated, kind of smooth.
You ever seen those hands wrinkly. You can buy in a Halloween shop?
Smooth but wrinkly.
Yeah.
Yes. Slimy.
And slimy, yes. Yeah.
Like plastic.
Yeah.
I'm struggling to remember what happens next. They wake up the next morning, they're like, know. Where's half the people gone? Oh, they're probably just,
well, we're
you
missing,
know,
like,
gone
all,
to town.
There's the sex, there's the British guy getting... possessed? Does he go to the? He goes to the bathroom.
Oh, the rock goddess shows up.
The rock goddess shows up.
Yeah.
Oh, special appearance by Rusty McCammers or whatever.
Hamilton.
Rusty Hamilton. Let's go with that.
Which who had a special appearance by credit, which means he has that worked into his contract, which means he
or her.
She,
hopefully.
Yeah.
Well,
her.
She's right. Yeah. She's Rusty Hamilton, right?
The yeah,
rock I think goddess, so.
So she's somebody.
But to get a special appearance by credit requires a lot of negotiation in your contract because that it's
again,
weird nerd stuff I'm digging into here
about.
But like like that
oh, you actually know facts on this.
Yeah no
oh,
like
oh,
it
please.
Does like no to get a special appearance by credit like you get paid for every like if it's a TV series you get paid for every episode whether you're in it or not with the special appearance by credit so to have that in like in front of your name takes a lot of negotiating and work so that's why I'm like this person has to be established or weirdly have a really good agent or something to have that work
into
your credit.
To look this up.
So,
who's
yeah.
the fuck is Rusty Hamilton?
Right, because we don't know who she is. She's there for 4 or 5 seconds.
Who is she in the movie?
She is the rock goddess.
What is a rock
she's,
goddess?
The prodigious
she's
rock
a,
goddess.
Yeah. She is a formation of the demon.
Yeah.
The demon just shows up as this woman.
To come on to the British guy. With the sunglasses.
And he, without question, oh, yeah, baby.
He's like, oh, yeah, this random weird chick I've never met is in this house.
Score.
I'll go for it.
Rusty Hamilton, according to the internet, is called a film actress who has starred in movies such as Only the Strong, Keep the Dogs. Oh, sorry, these are the Thor albums. She's in Rock and Roll Nightmare. She...
Maybe
and
that means
Zombie
nothing
Nightmare,
to this movie, then.
And White Sands. I wonder if that's his wife.
Oh, it's possible. It's
possible. We'll say yes.
Yeah, we'll have to
just go with it.
Go to our Facebook page.
Tell
Facebook.
Us if you know.
Tell us
slash
who the fuck this person is.
Cinema or whatever your name is.
Are you a fan of Rusty Hamilton? Tell us why.
Is this why you think it's for the 5 seconds she's in this?
And special appearance by my real life wife.
Yeah, could you imagine if Rob Zombie put that before all of his movies, how much we would fucking hate him?
I mean, I hate it enough already, but
right.
Fuck
special
that.
Appearance by Sherry Moon
oh my
Zombie.
God. Yeah. No.
Boo, fuck you all over again.
Take your 31 and shove it.
Right.
Fucking the only other thing I can think of is that she's in the band Thor, so a special appearance by another member of Thor. That was the, I don't know.
I don't know. Can you get yourself into that headspace of a 1980s rock god, Colin?
Yes, I can.
I knew you
Sean,
could.
You know how much time I've spent in that headspace? Okay.
I know.
So.
You really, this is why. You missed it.
I missed
it,
my
you?
Calling.
You missed it. I knew it.
You should see me with rock. No, okay. With Rock Band, the PlayStation game.
You mentioned Colin just with long, flowing red hair. Like
no,
rocking
and
out.
That like glitter tux jacket with no shirt underneath.
Mm-hmm. Imagine like
some leather and
20
and
years ago,
stuff.
He looks the same. He's just got longer hair. That's
I
how
had,
I imagine
I had
Colin.
Longer. I actually did that.
How long was your hair?
Not that long.
No, like no. What? Like shoulder length? Like how long?
It's
like
probably just, shoulder length.
Yeah?
I don't know. There's somewhere. There's
did you have
somewhere.
To flip it back?
That's
at
why
some
my wife
from your leather jacket.
She tells me. I had a leather jacket. Yeah,
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 yeah.
I mean, it was the 80s. That's what you did.
I like this
I'm
game.
Telling you,
let's guess Colin's life 20 years ago. This is a great game.
This was, you know, that the hard rock, heavy metal thing was a big part of my young adulthood.
Yeah.
So what happens the next day in this thing?
They have another song rehearsal.
Well, British guy takes his girl, whoever she is, out into
he takes her
out by the river.
Oh, down by the river.
Oh, yes.
The next day, because
this is possessed British guy.
This
right?
is possessed yes. British guy, and he's now lost his accent.
Yes, he has. It's gone, but nobody notices. Nobody they also notices. Cut from day to night with just haphazardly with wild abandon. They just go from day to night in this movie.
Just shots of the moon and the sun and the house.
The moon and the sun.
We should
and the sky.
Be glad they chose to shoot a day and night in this movie.
Well, this was the beginning of the sex day, right? Where, like, this is because I can't remember. I know she gets topless and then
he has that alien moment. Yeah.
Yeah. A gigantic demon hand comes out of his.
When they first showed that shot, I'm like, why is he bent over? Like,
I know.
Is something going to go wrong here?
Is
like,
he going to vomit? Like,
but I'm just like, oh, he had to get in that position to have the prosthetics on him in order for that giant hand to come out of his chest.
Really awkward. It looks like he's riding a motor. When we first see him, motorcycle riding position.
Yeah.
And then you pan down, like his chest comes down, you know, like right under his chin.
And it's taking a very long time to show him unbutton his shirt.
Yeah.
So you know something.
Suspense,
coming.
Holly. Ever heard of it?
I've heard of it. I didn't feel it during
you
this
didn't
movie.
Feel it? No, you got nothing.
Yeah.
Giant hand grabs her.
Yeah.
And that's all we get to see.
It was
I think it massages
like,
her boob a little.
Oh yeah.
Grabs her boob. Grabs her boob with the weird. Yeah. And it was reminiscent to me of the Beetlejuice shrimp hand.
A little bit.
Was it demons had the hand coming out through the person's?
It was like a demon hand.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Came out the year before that, so whatever.
Yeah.
And then inside the house, everybody's getting lucky, I think, for at least 5 uncomfortable minutes of badly choreographed and acted and shot sex scenes.
Yeah.
Because we get
the one dude, the gay dude.
And the meth head looking girl.
And the meth head keyboardist.
Yeah.
And it seems like a distinct age difference between them.
It felt like it. And then it was the shower scene.
The shower scene? Maybe that just felt like 2.
Because they cut away from it and then they come back.
They do.
Like, oh, Jesus Christ.
The river scene starts as a sex scene. It just doesn't go that way. So you do have 3, technically.
No.
And that, that shower sex scene.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. There's a lot of inappropriate tongue in this shower sex scene.
I mean,
I don't appreciate it.
It's what we were all waiting for. It's the Thor shower scene.
It is. He's like, this is my time to shine.
Yeah.
I will have sex.
Would you say it's the money shot of this movie?
I think so.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Yes.
It's just shots.
It's gross. The tongue acting is horrible.
It's just shots of like them pressing their boobs together over and over and over again.
Yes.
That's all it is for like
just,
10 minutes.
And tongue, just little.
Yeah, it was
not. It's not good. Yep. It's not.
And that's followed up by, I think at this point, like they go
somebody
after.
Somebody else die?
Well.
I don't know.
Yeah, because they had to get rid of.
What you just heard was Colin being done with this movie. That is what you heard. Oh my
these
god!
Scenes, it's like a slasher movie where like we arbitrarily like, kick these people out. The next thing that we really want to hear about, is that everybody's dead except for Thor.
We can just skip to everybody's dead.
Yeah,
that Thor and his wife. Yeah,
we don't have to catalog how the little demon things get them or whatever the hell.
Do we see more little demon things?
Yeah, there's one that crawls across the little lizard-looking one that crawls. I say crawl, but it's actually like on the end of a stick.
Yeah,
somebody wobbles it out in front of the camera.
But that's what we're getting to. We need to bypass all. We don't know how the people die. They died.
They die.
What we get to is Thor working on the love song in the barn by himself, and his wife comes in. That's where we need to get.
We get little monsters show up first,
while he's like writing his song.
Yeah.
And then, they shoot at him, and he like bends over to pick up the pen, and it overshoots.
Literally, someone throwing an object over the bar.
It is, but it's so because we saw one little one-eyed monster earlier in the movie, and that's fine. And the demon out of the oven in the beginning, but I was not expecting little monsters in this movie.
Different
looking ones throughout. Like you get a bunch of the little one-eyed dudes, but then you get like a little praying mantis dude. Looks like a dinosaur.
We didn't even talk about the little boy.
yes, little boy.
Fuck that kid.
Yeah.
He turns into a little dog face boy.
He's pointless, and I don't want to talk about it anymore.
All right.
Yeah. Just, but he serves no point.
It's true.
Horrible. That's how the other people die, though. You're right.
Yeah.
They get eaten by the little dog boy.
Yeah.
Okay, now we know where they went. There was a point to that.
Yeah. You know, the attitude we have talking about this movie is I feel like the attitude they had about making it. Yeah. Ah, fuck that kid. Yeah. Who gives a shit what happened to him? Who cares? Let's move on to the next shot.
Exactly. But I didn't expect that the little rubber monsters were going to be like the comedic relief of this movie. Like,
they do.
Oh, yeah, God. One of them puts its hand up on the countertop where Thor is writing. He takes his can
of Coca-Cola Classic.
Which Coca-Cola
Classic. Attempted product placement, because I doubt they got money for this.
No, they were hoping to get sued to get publicity at some point.
It's like famously Grease got sued because there's a scene in Grease where they're in the diner and there's like a big like 10x8 billboard of Coca-Cola. They put it in there before they got the licensing to do it, and they just assumed Coca-Cola would be like, fuck yeah, Grease is gonna be a huge success, we'll give you the money for it. And Coke said no. So if you watch Grease now, it's digitally, it's just fuzzy. It's just brushed out. It looks like, but it's really distracting because the two main acting right in front of it. So right around their heads is this weird like halo effect.
Yeah.
So like, I feel like this movie was like, well, fuck it. Let's just do that. Let's just do what Grease did and just put it in here. And Coke will be like, sure, why not? It's already in there. Let's just pay for it.
But they make every effort they can to turn the label of whatever they're drinking directly toward the camera. Coca-Cola Classic.
It's classic too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he sets it down on the little demon thing's hand, and it's sitting there going,
I think he bites his, like...
He does, he bites his finger, yeah.
Yeah.
So the wife reveals herself to not be his wife at all. In a strange twist of... So she basically turns into...
She saw the little boy in the bathroom again. Or she saw the cameraman in the bathroom, and it was supposed to be the little boy.
Sure.
Yeah, but we're past. We,
right, but that's what I'm saying. But then the next thing we see her, she walks into the barn and she's like,
that's why I wanted to talk about the little boy, but no.
I mean, fuck that kid.
She morphs into this giant, I don't know, 7 foot tall, bug looking creature thing, which somehow.
It's almost indescribable.
And it basically says, like, so.
It's an alien devil.
So the idea that we have at this point, like up to right now, and revealed about this point in the movie, is that the barn recording studio sits on some kind of doorway to hell.
The edge of hell, if you will.
The edge of
hell. All right.
Sits on the edge of hell, and the devil and his minions have been claiming all these people and turning them into little puppet people, little monsters.
That's what we gathered.
Right.
I think one of them had a wife beater on. I'm pretty sure.
And one of them was smoking a cigarette.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm pretty sure. Like, they showed in bright light, one of them had a wife beater on.
I did not catch that.
Yeah.
Pretty sure.
This is...
Smoking, yes.
Yeah. So this is supposedly, I think, all of the band members converted into little creatures.
Yes.
Possibly. I don't remember any of the band members smoke.
He's making them his minions.
Yeah. And then, surprise reversal, it turns out that Thor is the Archangel... somebody.
I thought you'd be like, Saruman.
Yeah. He's like, guess what, devil? Or do you like to be known as Beelzebub?
Every name.
Asmodeus.
Old Belial. Old Scratch.
Old Scratch.
Yeah, that was the best one.
Yeah. That I have secretly, those were just shadows that I created. I've been here alone the entire time that we've been here. So apparently he fucked himself in the shower. I don't know what happened.
I mean.
That's my question. That was my question.
So this is why he wasn't interested in his wife, because he's like, no, I got to work on that love song, baby. Because she's not really there. And then she takes her top off and he's like, okay, you talked me into it. And now I'll have sex with
but
the
shadow. But isn't she really there? Because she turns into the Old Scratch.
Because he's really there. Oh, no, I don't know. Yeah.
But she's really there because, right?
I gathered that he created these beings, but they're not... I think he mentioned that they don't have souls, so they can't be taken or anything. So he created them. They're just not real people. They're something. I don't know.
By the way, it was at this point in the movie where I moved to the edge of my seat.
He did.
And did not back up for the rest of it because I could not believe.
He was in awe.
Yeah. I was in awe. I could not believe what was happening because nothing previous to this led us to believe that this is what was going to be the end of this movie. I had no idea.
Except I've seen photos from the end of this movie because this is where it gets ridiculous as all. Like you thought it was crazy before.
It did, however, clear up the fact that he was driving alone in the van at the beginning, and that's why they only showed him.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Wow, Bravo. Look at you putting shit together.
Thank you.
Bam, that was...
Yeah, they didn't think of that.
No,
they didn't. I like that you thought of it.
It was a happy coincidence for them.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
So, yeah, so Thor, like, the wind starts blowing in his hair. But he changes. And he changes his costume into... Well,
he changes
costume.
Into what we've been wanting this entire fucking movie. That's what he changes into.
A studded.
Leather studded.
Codpiece.
Yeah. And that's it. Oh, and some bracers.
And
yeah,
a cape.
Did he have a cape?
He had a cape. Because it covered his.
He did have a cape.
It covered his. Clearly a thong. It covered it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So this is Thor the Rock God.
Yes. This is the Rock God.
Yes.
Yeah.
He comes with wind.
He comes with wind.
An oscillating fan.
And you can take that any way you want, because I'm sure they're both true.
Yeah.
The oscillating fan.
We say that this is funny because his hair blows a little bit, then it stops, and then it blows a little bit more.
There's almost musical cues for this.
Yeah.
It would have been funny if there was like a guitar riff, like when his hair.
It would have been better. It's just called Rock and Roll Nightmare. It would have been better.
Yeah, if it would have been punctuated, it would have made sense. Yes. But it wasn't at all. It was totally accidental. That's what made it noticeable.
Yeah. We should rescore that. We probably could. Yeah.
I don't want to put the time in this movie. No.
But this is the time that the devil starts throwing his like squid throwing stars at Thor. This is what had me in awe.
Yeah. It's 5 minutes.
You have to see this to believe it.
He's legit catching them like football style. Like.
Holding them to his chest.
And then, like, oh no, it's attacking me.
Some great, like, how we were talking about with Terror Tracta. Like, you see the great, like, someone acting against a puppet and moving it as the motion.
To show movement.
Terror Tracta looked like an Oscar Award winning movie compared to this. Holy shit.
And this was in slow motion, too. Like, that's the best part of this.
Because he legit catches it, like, like a fucking frisbee.
So he's dodging them and everything.
He has to catch it and then put it in place too. Yeah, like, catches it and then puts it in place.
He attaches two to his nipples at one point. It's just like,
ah! And then he breaks one or whatever, rips the thing apart.
He squeezes it, and then he's pulling it apart.
Somebody spent a lot of time on that.
I know.
Do you think they just like reassured him on set, being like, we'll fix it in post. We'll fix it in post. Don't worry about it, man. Like, do you think they were like, just do your best?
Yeah, and he was like, what is post?
Yeah.
It'll look better on post. Once we edit it together.
I will almost guarantee there was one throwing star that they had to just keep redoing every single time.
Probably.
Yeah. I'm going to say that was only one. It's like, all right.
He was holding two, though.
I just, I can't, this is a moment where, you know, I mean, you can't believe this.
You can't,
unless you see it.
I could not believe it.
That this kills people's careers, this type of stuff. Mm. I mean, it is so blatantly, like, inept in all sense of the word.
Yeah.
He's just, you know, it's
for as
glorious
long as, for
in
as,
a bad movie way, but sad in some other ways, like, wow, you actually thought you were making a movie?
But that's what it is.
Like, who the fuck? Yeah.
It's sad in the way and how serious it was made at the time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
How much people dedicated to this because they thought this is going to be it.
It goes back to like what we were saying about Tommy Wiseau. So when The Room came out, like he said it was a hard drama. And now retroactively, he said it's a dark comedy.
Yeah.
Like it's the same type of thing. Like that's exactly how this movie was made.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This.
And then, I mean, we top that off with the the music video, whatever, battle royale
the
between Thor and the giant
devil
rubber alien. Devil puppet set to a track music called...
Up to the challenge?
Up to the challenge! Yes! Yes!
where we have to play the entire song.
It's almost as good as There's No Easy Way Out in fucking Rocky.
Right.
It's like a Sandman level.
Don't knock that song.
I'm not knocking it.
I like
it. We're bringing this one up. There's no easy way out. Rise to the Challenge or whatever in Thor is just
as good.
I love
Rocky IV.
And we call it a fight, but it's, I mean, they hold each other's wrists for 10 minutes.
They do.
That's all it is. Just
they
like,
just circle. They just circle.
And the camera gets into weird angles.
Really close shots.
Right, but that's it. It is just them like holding each other in circles, but those camera angles, man, like you get Alien, you get Muscles, you get the best faces from Thor. He's metal screams at the devil at some point.
Got like the pursed like pucker like on his lips.
He does.
Oh, it's fantastic.
He was doing like the duck face. Like, what is happening?
It was
here?
Ridiculous.
Oh my god.
And then as Sean rightfully put, we got the Inspector Gadget ending.
Why did I call it the Inspector Gadget ending?
Because nothing happens and he says, you win this
time. Next time. Next time, Gadget. Next time. It really was. It was a little wrestling bit and it was like, you win. And he's like, psh, the Roman candle pops up and he's just gone.
It's literally a Roman candle, like it's a foot in front of the camera.
It is insanity.
Yeah. You win
and that's
this
it.
Round.
After all that. And then he's walking around like, I have avenged you.
Yeah.
First of all, we don't know who he's talking to. No. Or
the cemetery,
about.
I mean?
Yeah. Well,
was it the family that died in the house?
Oh, shit.
Oh!
Could be.
So, well, Holly comes up with things.
She always puts shit together.
How?
But I can't tell if he was like, because there were a set of graves, or he stood in front of one grave and he's like, it's taken this long, but I've avenged you. Could have been his wife. Could have been his band members.
Could have been.
Could have been the family from the house.
Could have been.
No fucking idea. It's one of those scenes, his mouth is moving.
Yeah.
But the dialogue.
It could have been the groupies.
It could have been.
We don't know.
But we don't know.
No.
And he didn't avenge anybody.
No.
The devil just decided to leave.
Plus, he's an angel, so who's he? Like, that would mean he was had personal connection with these people, and then they died, and then he avenged them.
Is he dead?
I don't know. I don't know. This movie made no fucking sense at all. And then, to cap it off, there's an ending scene, which starts at a random suburban house and does a pullback for, like, the block, you know, really slow camera, and you're like, whose house is this? What's happening? What's happening in this movie?
We'll never know.
No, reality collapsed tonight. I think that's basically, you know, yeah.
That's it.
That's rock and roll. Then there's a couple of sing out songs as we discover that, you know.
A couple credit songs, but.
Yeah. Right. Well, I'll tell you, listener, thank you for sticking around this long. We're each going to go around the room give you our final reviews. Which you're going to want to stay tuned for, because you never know how these things shape out. Turns out that some of us might like this movie. Some of us might hate this movie. How's it all going to shake out? You're going to find out on the other side of our mailbag. But first of all, as we want to do, thank you for writing in. We want to answer some mail, so we need to get our mailman in here. Igor, where are you, sir?
Masters, the mail. I've got the mail. So many letters. Our followers are rising.
And thank you, Igor.
Thanks, Igor. I like your hat. Is that pink? That's a nice hat. It looks good.
I made him not wear his codpiece.
Oh, did you?
Good.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Does he get an oscillating fan too? Or no?
Oh, he's got one back there. Okay.
He's got like two hairs though. It doesn't really work for him.
Oh, he rocks.
He can pull it off.
But
like
I guess
a rooster. Right. Top of his head.
Sorry.
It's like a white snake video back there. You don't know.
Oh, no. All right. Well, Igor brings us the mail, and you can write to us on facebook.com/Saturday Night Freak Show. You can also write to us on Twitter
@SatFreakShow.
Or by email
SaturdayNightFreakShow@yahoo.com.
And please write in, because otherwise we don't know who you are, and we want you to become part of the Freak Show.
We don't know
family.
Who you are, and we'll never know.
That's right. You're liking our Facebook pages, and you're liking our podcast. Why not, like, reach out?
Do we have to make Holly call someone else out for them to write
I've done it before, damn it.
And it's worked. So hey, we will find you.
Hey, Chris.
All right, so for Rock and Roll Nightmare, 365 Feature writes in.
Oh.
And he says, you are in for the best 80 minutes of your lives.
No.
Or the
liar.
Worst.
No.
He says he's not sure. Okay. He's covering himself there.
They always do. They're just like, they never want to dedicate themselves to what they think about these movies.
Fall on your sword.
Yeah,
come
they
on,
recommend
man.
Them and then they walk off into the night. They're just like, you deal with it.
Dom Cree writes in, says, the fact that I thought this movie was Hard Rock Zombies is not a good sign. Ooh. Ha! Once again, why is such a great premise, heavy metal horror or the heavy metal horror movie, so poorly executed time and time again? I challenge Colin to write this wrong. Well, Dom.
It's a challenge.
Yeah. If you Thank give you, me Dom. A premise, I promise I'll do something with it. Yeah, well, no, that's not entirely
that's
true.
Not, that's not true at all.
I am looking for a premise. Like,
that is a straight-up lie. Do you have any ideas? Yeah, we'll, fly we'll through false the starts, basement.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually wrote a feature-length screenplay for a heavy metal horror movie, but it's more like a horror thing than horror fantasy. And I think that's kind of where you need to go. It needs to be fun. You know, not, so. You know, yeah. Kind of dour and all that. So, about Terror Tract. Bobette Georgie writes in and says, this movie was really good. Shame it never received more attention. I had never even heard of it before this, our show that we did. So there you go. That's what we do.
All right. Great. I agree. Yeah.
Agreed. Awesome.
It was good.
We bring dead movies back to life. And about our Rawhead Rex episode, Chris Huddleston.
Hey, Chris!
Writes in and says, did anyone read the comic? He says, I have read Next Testament, which is a great recent comic by Clive Barker. I believe it's a new original story he wrote just for comic form, and that's highly recommended. Anybody read the Rawhead Rex comic?
I read excerpts, but I didn't read the whole thing.
No.
Yeah, we just did some research for the show to find out a little bit about it.
And after watching the movie, I would not go back.
No, I didn't have any desire.
And David Eve, I might be pronouncing it wrong. I believe he's French, so it might be Eve. Says Rawhead Rex is even better than Satanico Pandemonium, a movie that I've actually seen. It's one of those like nunsploitation movies. I don't remember somebody pisses on a vicar in that movie, but it might be odds where the comparison comes from. So yeah. So that brings us to our final thoughts, and that's going to start tonight with Sean.
Oh shit!
Tables are turned.
I know. I'm first. I'm never first. All right. Rock and Roll Nightmare.
What'd you think of it?
The Edge of Evil. Just kidding. Edge of Hell.
You'll get it.
It doesn't matter.
Who gives a fuck anyways?
I really can't get across enough how I have to say mind-blowing that last 20 minutes was, because I was not expecting what we got from this movie. I also was expecting more rock and roll. Like, we got so like two live performances in this, but I thought like, I almost thought we were going to get like singing during the movie. I almost thought you were bringing us into that. A little more Repo than, you know, more rock opera.
Musical?
I almost thought more rock opera is what we were getting into. I was not expecting.
And even
this.
Like the transitional music, I was expecting rock.
Right.
Not fire. Tubular bells.
Yeah. I wanted more rock in this. I wanted more, like we said, the punctuation with his hair blowing in the wind. With guitar, I think that would have been better. I really was expecting Repo on this one, but I'm much happier with what I got, because if you go back and listen to Repo, did not like that movie, or at least I did not.
We. You're the only one left who didn't like that movie.
That's very true. I am the only one who's still here. Very true, but I'm here to fight you on that one every step of the way until I am gone.
Brilliant.
It was bad. It was annoying. But that's not the movie we watched. But like I said, I did like the movie we got. It is insane. It's insane to me. I find the fascination in, the story of, John Michael Thor, in the fact that it seems like this was his thing. Like, this was his perceived maybe comeback in some ways, but this was definitely, to me, feels like his passion project. And I like that this movie was made with a total seriousness. It had to have been. It felt like it was. And that we got the movie we got. We got a movie with little one-eyed monsters. We got a devil alien that got fought at the end. And there was rock and roll in this movie. But if for nothing else, the last 20 minutes of this movie, I did not see coming. And I know we've said that we have to grade the movie on not the experience we had with everybody else, which was great, by the way, but based on the movie itself. And I think you should watch this movie. Holly, I think you should watch it again. It's insane.
I rented it on Amazon, which is why Sean is saying it.
It's insane. Like we said, it's a bad movie, but it's insane. And you'll watch it, and you'll just be like, what? You won't know what to make of yourselves after watching this movie. But for that reason, I think you should see it. I think you have to see it. I recommend it. But there it is.
There it is.
All right.
This is bad.
Yeah. This is why
it's
you
very
stick around.
Bad.
This is why yeah. you stick around for wrap ups right here.
But I think surprises the shit out of you. I didn't see that coming.
I think you should watch it.
So, Sean, I got to say, I want you to think about what you just said while I read off. I took notes during this movie.
Oh, shit, we didn't even hear the notes.
I took notes during this movie because I could tell right away I was going to have a hard time focusing, and the only way I could focus is if I made myself take notes. Glad I did. So I want you to think about that while I read off some of these direct quotes from this movie. You guys never let me get to the butt. Mm-hmm. That was a line said within the first 15 minutes of this movie. Toronto is where it's happening.
Yep.
Don't think Toronto's where anything is happening currently.
Vancouver, maybe.
It's very cold.
In reference to that quote, they were talking about art music scene. They were basically saying it's L.A., but mm-hmm. Why couldn't you become a Coke dealer or something sensible? That was a line said within the first 30 minutes of this movie.
I was actually just thinking that the other day.
This is a plus for this movie. Keep going. Let's tune our weapons.
Let's tune our weapons.
They got the axe.
Which character, I don't remember who, because it doesn't matter. And he's not over by the stairs either. Some character pops out from under the stairs and says, and he's not over by the stairs either.
Because that's where he would hang out. The dialogue in this movie.
And then towards the end, I'm sure Phil's not dead or anything.
Yeah.
Great, great, great line. And then other notes.
It's hard to believe this was his first screenplay.
Right? I mean, genius, right on paper, right?
Yeah.
My other notes are glitter jacket with tux tails and no shirt is really stupid. Sewing while a rock band is playing? No head on a bass is a weird choice.
Yes.
Holy shit, that's an AMC Pacer. I love those cars. I'm pretty sure it's from Wayne's World.
Yes, it is.
Public domain Exorcist music everywhere.
Everywhere.
James Bond reference. Please stop.
Yeah. And the Terminator reference, too.
Studded codpiece? I guess I can get on board with this.
Yeah.
And the crew should really get better control of that oscillating fan, was my last note of the night.
Plus, this is what I heard. Plus, reasons
to watch this movie.
Yeah. That's what I heard.
Yeah, I couldn't focus on this movie. I don't recommend it. So I'll pass it off to Holly.
That's one no, one yes. One, why the fuck did we watch this movie? Colin, I need you to answer that question for me. Not really, because we all kind of wanted to watch this movie.
We still watched the trailer.
My thing. What trailer did we watch?
I just want to say I didn't watch any trailer for this movie. I had no say in that. So.
I know the three of us watched a trailer at one point.
We did.
And it was not this movie.
I think we tried to find a trailer for it. We only saw like the 5-minute clips of the movies thing, and then we turned it off. Because
it was like a scene from the movie of him fighting the squiddy things.
Did we see that? Set the music,
and it was like, whoa, this is like going to be a scene from the movie.
Yes, I think we saw it for like 10 seconds, him in his final outfit, and then we turned it off.
Okay.
Because that's the only thing I remember.
Because it was not what I was expecting.
No, me neither.
Not at all. Michaela and I were talking earlier, we kind of thought it was going to be more like the movie Heavy Metal.
Mm-hmm.
That's the idea that we had. And it was not. this movie was all over the place, and I don't know what place that was.
Hell.
Or just on the edge of it.
Purgatory.
Or what was it? What was the shower song? It was like someplace.
Over the rainbow? What?
No, the song they were playing in the shower was like someplace. I don't know.
Anyway. I was distracted during the shower scene.
I was going to say inappropriate, but it misses the mark. And, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
It was no energy.
You shouldn't be playing this song here. No, yeah. The energy song there.
Yeah.
Someplace. Where am I supposed to put it? Yeah.
It was something like that, wasn't it?
Yeah,
it was. That's what I'm saying.
It was some odd lyrics like that.
Oh, God.
This is why you see the movie.
No, this is why you don't watch this movie. Don't watch it. It was so awkward. The whole thing was just awful. It was so awkward. This was someone's hobby, like their project, and it did not go well. I just feel really bad for John Michael Thorne.
I think I might looking at the car wreck more than you guys do.
See, I think you're like thinking about what Colin said about the documentary about him and taking that to context while thinking about this movie.
Yeah, I agree. This never crosses into awesomely bad territory for me.
No.
It just stays in bad. It never crosses into awesomely bad for me.
It wants to go there. Like, it's got the cheesy monsters, the weird little like gremlin dudes at the end with like the the rock god outfit. Like, it's trying to get there, but it never gets there.
Maybe I'm in awe of just that last 20 minutes that I was not expecting.
I think you are.
You think that has changed me in my view of this movie?
Because you were sitting back the whole time just saying, what the fuck, like the rest of us, and then the last 15 minutes you're on the edge of your seat.
But I like the whole,
and you were blinded to the first hour. Yeah, or less than an hour.
I don't know, maybe I was very influenced.
Think
by
of all the van shots you had to watch.
So many van shots.
This movie has...
It's ruined you.
It has. No, like, I feel weak right now.
I feel weak. You know what? I will say, after watching this movie, I didn't know if I had the energy to get through this podcast.
Thank you.
I will agree with you on that. I'm just like, why do I feel so depleted right now? What happened?
You're less of a person now because of this fucking movie. Maybe. That's it. If you want to watch it, you'll be less of a person. There you go. That's my review.
I just had an explosion of joy at the end of the movie and felt all wiped out.
Maybe that was it. Maybe I was so down, and then I got something so out of it. I was just like, whoa!
I want to, like, map a chart of your, like, attention to this movie and see how it changes.
Shower scene has peaked for some reason. All right, now we're back down.
Oh, boobs! Yay! What? No.
Off the charts for alien demons. That is possible.
Colin, bring us home.
Well,
Colin,
for people who are share Sean's, love for this movie, it doesn't have to end here, Sean. Because what I neglected to tell you is that John,
you always hold something back. God damn it! He's always got something he knows and leaves for the end.
What would you think of Intercessor? Another rock and roll nightmare.
What?
Yes.
Oh yes. Talk.
Where is it? Where is it?
It's
can
on,
I find it?
Daily YouTube. Motion.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh,
it's from 2009.
Great.
They went back and made
goodbye. Bye.
Fuck. We're all fucked for next week now. Great.
It's Sean's pick next week.
Oh, yes. Shit, it is.
Yeah. So we're all fucked now.
Intercessor.
Thanks, Colin. Thanks for that.
Because I am the intercessor. Yeah.
Oh, is that what he said? Angel. I could barely make out any demon dialogue.
You know, I mean, I love bad movies. I've had several of them on this show. We've watched bad movies. I think the worst movie that we've ever watched on this show is a movie called Mean Guns.
Mean Guns.
That was the absolute worst. Yeah. And I'm going to say that was worse than Rock and Roll Nightmare because it didn't have monsters in it.
Mm.
Yeah. At least this had rubber monsters.
It's a low bar.
And somehow that gives it the edge over Mean Guns, the 4-hour Ice Cube and Christopher Lambert shoot 'em up.
Christopher Lambert.
Yeah. But
see,
this
on
was,
paper, that sounds great.
But it's Albert Pun.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Pune, whatever.
Pune. He was doing a new movie lately. I forgot. Continue.
But we're not going to see that one either, hopefully.
No.
It was the sequel to, Streets of Fire.
Oh, God, Streets of Fire is so bad. Ooh, maybe I'll make all you guys watch that sometime when it's my pick.
Streets of Fire. We did. Yeah, we did.
But yeah, this is all sorts of bad. Like, I mean... You can sit there and you can make fun of it, but I think, aside from the gloriousness of the end, where legitimately, Sean, it's like that's the part where you can sit there, you see it in the trailers, or you see it in the artwork or images from the movie. It all comes from the end of the movie,
mm-hmm.
where Thor.
Yeah,
goes
I say don't
full
look at any
metal
of don't
God.
Look at any of that before going into this movie.
Well, that's because that's all there is to it. There's that last 10-minute music video where he fights the big rubber, marionette.
Yeah.
Before that. As Michaela and Holly were pointing out, it's shots of people driving around for 40 minutes. It's another 20 minutes of people are the establishing shots of a house. And then there's a couple of moments of, a point of view camera running around. And then just, people trying to figure out what the fuck are we going to do to fill time between, this scene and the next one. We don't even know what the next one is. We don't care. Somebody's going to get killed off shadow or off screen. We're going to see
somebody's
going to
be in a bedroom or a bathroom.
Yeah. It's really desperate. It's just bad on all mm-hmm. accounts. I mean, yes. It is probably one of the worst things that I've ever seen. So, I mean, if you're into that kind of thing, and that's where I'm like, I have not seen Troll 2, right? I saw the movie about Troll 2, but I didn't actually see Troll 2 because they said it's one of the worst movies ever made. I don't need to go.
Has anybody here seen this?
Yeah, I've seen it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I've never seen it.
But you didn't see I've never seen the best worst movie. That's entertaining, but just from what you see in that, you're like, that looks like Rock and Roll Nightmare. I thought this movie was going to be more rock and roll. I mean, I guess that's a thing that, you know, I assumed, you know, because it went in with, you know, Black Roses, Trick or Treat. And, you know, I mean, I think, you know, when you think of the heavy metal horror movie, Deathgasm notwithstanding, from that era, you see, you know, oh, I see Trick or Treat, Black Roses. And then you, I've heard about this Rock and Roll Nightmare. And then you got October Blood or whatever comes below that. So I thought it was going to have some, so like somehow the music was going to be more integral to the story. Like maybe they play the devil's music and, you know, the devil demon creatures come up, you know, and attack them all or possess them all or whatever the hell.
Or at least they defeat the final monster by playing.
Yeah, by rock, rocking him to
rocking
death.
Rocking him to death.
Yeah, but that doesn't happen. It's like, it's almost incidental, the fact
like
that
light energy flying out of the guitar
music
to kill him.
Yes, yeah. Right? See that?
Yes.
Right.
Yes. This is what it should have been.
Yes. Right. We wanted to rock.
Yeah, they killed them with the power of their rock.
Yes.
Yeah.
The power of rock.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's all we wanted.
But that isn't what we got. And so based on what we got, I can't in good conscience tell you, listener, that you have to go see this. Because you'll hate us, and you know if you do. So I'm going to say, skip the, give it a wide berth. Not like you're ever going to be able to find it anyway, because we had to track it down. But it is available on Amazon Instant Video and on special edition DVD from Synapse Film.
I say Synapse.
So yeah. That's a big no. So next week, if you stick with us, Sean is going to pick the movie. What are we going to watch next week, Sean?
We're going to watch the Charlie Sheen vehicle, The Arrival.
Oh, sure.
All right.
Is this like counter-programming Arrival with The Arrival?
I think it was on my list before we got into the viewer's choices stuff and before we got into Christmas. Okay. So it's been delayed for a while, but now we'll finally get to it. Charlie Sheen.
Would you believe you like that?
That's Charlie Sheen. Charlie Sheen. You're getting Charlie Sheen.
What era of Charlie Sheen is this?
This is 80s?
The good era.
So
of
good
Charlie
era.
Sheen.
Okay.
This is like
late 90s.
This is
like
90s.
Post Major League.
Yes.
Okay.
This is from the director of Pitch Black before he did Pitch Black.
Oh, okay. All right. I'll take it.
So that's next week on the Saturday Night Freak Show. And until then, the basement is going dark.